عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا وقد خلقكم أطوارا. And Nuh said, seek forgiveness of your Lord, truly He is forgiving. He will send the sky upon you with abundant rains, support you with wealth and children, and make for you gardens and rivers. What ails you that you do not hope for God with dignity, seeing that He has created you in stages? آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على. Continuing in our discussion with Surah Nuh, chapter 71, we mentioned previously that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Prophet Nuh alayhi salam to his community with a specific objective, with a specific mission. And that Nuh continued for 950 years to persist in teaching and educating his community. And then the earlier verses of this chapter, they tell us that Nuh, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he began to complain of his community's reaction towards his mission and towards his objective. In these verses tonight, verses 10 to 14 of Surah Nuh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of how Nuh, on the other hand, while he had first warned his community, on the other hand, in these verses, we see how Nuh attempted to encourage his community members, to entice them, to encourage them towards seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we find verses 10 to 12, Prophet Nuh is encouraging his community to repent, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek forgiveness from Allah. He says, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. He is encouraging his community to repent, to turn to Allah. And he tells them that if you sincerely turn to Allah, then there will be certain consequences. Allah will reward you, according to these verses, with six rewards, six types of rewards. One of these rewards is immaterial, and the rest of the five, are material rewards and material gains. He says, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. I told my community, seek forgiveness, repentance, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. When you do so, you will find that number one, this is the first blessing, this is the first reward, this is the first consequence. You will find that your Lord is oft forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is غَفَّار. And we've mentioned previously, some of you who may be aware of the Arabic language, know that ghaffar entails what? What does it mean? When we say Allah is ghaffar, we say sometimes we find the Quran speaking of Allah being ghafoor, and sometimes ghaffar. What's the difference between ghafoor and ghaffar? What's the difference? Yes.
I think Ghaffar is stronger.
Yes, Ghaffar is stronger. Essentially, it's if you look at the translations, it says oft forgiving, meaning that God continues to forgive over and over and over again. Ghafur means that God forgives. Ghaffar means that God continues to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously forgives. So here, Prophet Nuh is telling his community, turn to Allah because Allah will continue to give you chances over and over. It's not a one-time sort of offer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not deal with us based on absolutes in that sense. That either you believe or you don't believe, khalas. But that we are given chances. Because Allah knows that sometimes we may be weak, sometimes we may slip, sometimes we may make mistakes. And as such, His forgiveness, His compassion is so great that Allah wants us to come back. And this is what repentance means. At-tawbah means, repentance means a return. That you return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Nuh says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَارًا. Your Lord will forgive you and will give you a number of chances to seek forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. This is number one. And then this is followed by five material gains, material rewards. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. And then he says, يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. God will provide you with abundant rain, with the good kind of rain. Because sometimes rain, if it is excessive, it could be destructive, right? In certain floods, it leads to floods that are destructive. And we will see that in the case of Prophet Nuh and his community, this was especially the case. So here he is telling his community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide you with abundant rain, good enough rain that will help you, will help your crops and will help your communities. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ. And God will grant you بِأَمْوَال. This is number two or number three. بِأَمْوَال, wealth. وَبَنِين, human capital. You will be given children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow upon you human capital. وَجَنَّات. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِين وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّات. And God will provide you with gardens. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And God will bestow upon you rivers. Rewards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you if you turn sincerely to God. And this is what we find our teachings. They emphasize that genuine and sincere faith and piety, and especially pursuing justice, standing up for justice, leads not only to otherworldly gains. It's not just about, you know, receiving, you know, a beautiful paradise and mansions in paradise and rivers and all the things that we delight. It's not just about otherworldly gains, but even this worldly. In this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows His blessings upon us. And the Quran gives several examples of this, of how sincerity, genuine faith and piety, and especially in standing up for justice, this cornerstone, as our dear brother Hajj Robert was mentioning, this cornerstone of our faith, standing up for justice. If this is implemented, if this is observed, this will lead to goodness. This will lead to blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us and our communities. And the Quran gives us several examples. In chapter 7, verse 96, Allah says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Had the people genuinely accepted, believed, had faith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have opened the doors of His mercy and blessings upon them. They would have been blessed. In another verse, in chapter 5, verse 66, Allah says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ أَقَامُوا التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Had they observed, truly observed the Torah and the Injil, Allah is speaking about previous nations and previous communities, وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, and what had been revealed to them from their Lord, had they truly been observant of this and accepted it and implemented it in their lives, what would have happened? لَأَكَلُوا مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَمِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِهِمْ. They would have consumed, they would have been surrounded basically by blessings. Blessings all around. And the Qur'an gives us the other side of the equation. That sometimes punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes us due to our lack of faith, our lack of piety, and especially lack of implementing justice. Sometimes the evil that we perform leads to what? Leads to punishment. Not just in the hereafter, but even in this life. Allah tells us in chapter 30, verse 41, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. That immorality and evil has appeared in the land due to what? Due to the actions of the people. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Because of what people did. Because of what the community, they themselves did. Because of what we do. In another verse, Allah says in chapter 42, verse 30, He says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Sometimes, some of the problems that we face in our lives, Allah says, it's because of your own doing, your own cause. We read in Dua Kumail, in the famous Dua Kumail, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dua, to forgive us for some of our sins, some of our mistakes, some of our errors that lead to what? Lead to problems, not just in the hereafter, but it's also in this life. We say, Allahumma اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقم. Oh my Lord, forgive me those sins and those errors that bring down your wrath, bring down your punishment. Allahumma اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. Oh my Lord, forgive me those sins that block my supplication from reaching you. Sometimes, there's times we spend excessively engaging in dua, supplicating, praying, but we find sometimes that our prayers are not answered, our dua is not answered. And so we wonder why. Why is my dua not answered? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to call upon Him. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. But sometimes Allah does not answer our prayers. Why? Sometimes because of our own actions. Because of certain sins, certain things that we've done, acts of immorality or evil that we've done, which act as a barrier from our dua, even reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. Allahumma اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء. Some sins, some acts, they cause Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring down His wrath and His punishment upon us. And so, it's not that there is just a moral connection between piety, faith, justice, but there is also sometimes a physical and material connection. That our faith and our piety and especially our observance of justice, it has an impact on our material and physical world. It's not just something moral that Allah holds us accountable for in the hereafter, but it affects us even in this life according to the Quran. We find many times that having non-piety, not being pious, leads in many cases to non-responsibility, being unresponsible. The essence of taqwa, I've mentioned in my talks, the essence of taqwa is a state of responsibility. You are responsible. You are God-conscious and you are aware of your responsibility, not just to God, but to God's creation, to those around you. Taking away taqwa means that you are taking away this state of responsibility. You're not responsible anymore. You don't find yourself to be responsible. And when we don't have responsibility, we have problems. Think about this in the context of our interactions. Sometimes, for instance, in marriage or in relationship between parents and children or siblings or friends or whatever it may be, If there's no responsibility, then this relationship breaks down. This relationship breaks down. This is why we find that when Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam, very beautiful hadith, Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam, he was asked by one of his companions, he told him, Yabna Rasulillah, my daughter, the companion is asking the Imam, he's telling him, my daughter, she is of age. She is ready to get married. And there are people who have come and they have asked for her hand. So what kind of man should I allow her to marry? Should he be rich? Should he be famous? Should he come from a specific family, a specific tribe? The Imam answered, he told him, allow her to marry a man who is a muttaqi. He has taqwa. And then he tells him why. It's not just some ideal, you know, cliche, oh, let him just have taqwa. He tells him why. He says, because if he ends up loving her, if he ends up really, really loving her, then he'll take care of her. He'll put her in his eyes and she'll live the best life. But God forbid, the Imam is real here. It's not just sort of a fantasy. You know, sometimes we have a fantastical sort of notion, an ideal notion of what it means to get married. No, the Imam is being real. He's telling him sometimes there's going to be problems. Husband and wife sometimes don't get along. They might, you know, get into arguments. They might get into problems. It's real life. This happens in every sort of relationship. So the Imam tells him, but if they encounter problems, and God forbid he doesn't end up loving her, at least he will not oppress her. He won't oppress her. Because why? Because if he has taqwa, then he has God consciousness. He knows he has a responsibility, not just to her, but to God as well. And this entails that he acts justly. He does not act unjustly. And so we find that this act of, or this state of responsibility and the state of taqwa even impacts our physical and material life. It's not just about the hereafter. And injustice also has also certain consequences. Injustice sometimes also leads to destruction and devastation. When you have income inequality in society, right? When you have a very, very small group of people who have amassed wealth that is outrageous, and there is a great amount of income inequality between those who do have great wealth and those who don't, and those who are struggling, then this causes destruction and devastation. This is not something that Allah has imposed upon the community. This is through our own doings. This is through our own business practices. This is through our own economic practices. This is through the own things that we've adopted ourselves. So if we've engaged in this behavior, and for example, as an example, there's income inequality and people are living poor lives, and some of them, you know, are dying because of their poverty, or some of them are becoming ill, or some of them, God forbid, are engaging in theft or violence or what because of their state. This is because of our own doing. And the same goes for our interactions. If I'm disrespectful of others around me, this is going to cause problems. If I'm disrespectful to my wife or husband or to my children or to my parents or to my friends or others, this is going to cause problems. In many cases, it is at our hands that we have goodness or evil, the results of which come from our own hands. I give this example of marriage. You know, they say that in marriage, there are three types of rings. Three rings in marriage. The first is an engagement ring. The second is a wedding ring. And the third is a suffering. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sometimes, in some cases, it's a joke, huh? Inshallah. So the point is that it is based off our doing. Sometimes our actions, whether positive or negative, that have positive or negative consequences. Now, the question that comes up is, if this is the case, if piety and faith is linked to goodness, to happiness, to success, and immorality, for instance, is linked to destruction and problems, why is it that we find that some societies that are immoral, yet they're living very successfully, they're living in prosperity? If there is a strong link between faith and piety and goodness and vice versa, why is it that we find some societies that are immoral but they are successful? Who knows the answer to this? Yes. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people, basically the Quran says that Allah gives people a chance, and this leads them in some cases to further engage in immorality, and thus they are held responsible. Okay, but why are they living prosperity in prosperity in this life? Why? What else could it be? They are just. The Quran tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards goodness. Allah rewards goodness. Sometimes this goodness is rewarded in the hereafter. Sometimes this goodness is rewarded in this life. And especially, and this is why I focus and mention this idea of justice, especially when it comes to justice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards those who are just. Even if sometimes they might slip here or there, as long as they are committed to justice. They are committed to avoiding oppression. They are committed to avoiding hurting others and taking advantage of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward their goodness. Allah rewards goodness. They may not receive a reward in the hereafter, but in this life they are rewarded for especially maintaining justice. And it is the case sometimes that because of some individuals within society, that a society either prospers or is held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is punished. By some. Not everyone has to be pious, not everyone has to be immoral. There could be some individuals. The hadith tell us that sometimes in some communities, in some societies, it is because of a small group of faithful people, of devout people, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on a community in its entirety. And sometimes it's because of some individuals that the whole community is held accountable. We're told in the famous story during the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, you may have heard this story before, that during the time of Musa alayhi salam, that the community was going through a drought. So they all decided to go out and to pray Salatul Istisqa, to pray for rain. And so the whole community, along with Prophet Musa, they went out into the desert and they began to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His blessings upon them. And yet there was nothing. And so the community, they turned to Prophet Musa and they told him, Ya Musa, why is it? Can you speak to Allah, ask Allah, why is it that Allah is not bringing down His blessings? This entire society, this entire community has come out praying to Allah. So Musa asks Allah. Allah answers. He tells him, Ya Musa, in this community that has come together, in this gathering, there is one individual, one man, who for his entire life, he has done nothing good. All he has done is evil. His entire life. Nothing good. And as long as he remains within this gathering, I will withhold my blessings. So Musa alayhi salam, he turned to the community and he told them, Allah tells me that there is one amongst us here who it is because of his immoral actions that Allah is withholding his blessings. And until he leaves, the case will remain. Now the tradition says that specific man, when he heard this, he thought to himself. Imagine he's standing in this big group and he realizes, he knows who he is. He knows. No one needs to point out. Each and every one of us knows what kind of life we live. He knows who he is. So he thinks to himself, He says, I'm in a dilemma here. If I stay quiet, if I remain quiet, if I don't say anything, then this punishment will continue upon us. But if I get up and I walk away, everyone will know who I am. And so the hadith, the tradition says that this man from the bottom of his heart, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, oh my Lord, I seek forgiveness. I've lived my life, a terrible life, an immoral life, but I seek forgiveness from you, oh my Lord. I turn to you in repentance and I ask you to forgive my faults. I ask you to forgive my errors. The hadith says that after a few moments, the clouds arrived and it began to rain. Musa, he turned to Allah. He told him, my Lord, I stood and I looked at the community and I noticed that no one moved. We are the same group. So what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told him, ya Musa, it was because of this same individual who spent his entire life in error and crime and sin, it is because of this same individual who sought forgiveness, because of him, I brought down my blessings. Musa, he turned to Allah, he told him, Ilahi, what a great man this is. Because of one person, remember, this is the prophet. This community had a prophet with them, standing with them. This prophet, he tells him, Ilahi, what a great person this person is. Such a great person that because of him, you have brought down your blessings upon us. My Lord, reveal to me who this person is. I want to get to know this person. I want to befriend this person. Allah told him, ya Musa, for 40 years he sinned and I did not expose him. You expect now that he has sought forgiveness for me to tell you who he is? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving. And sometimes it could be because of one sincere person, one sincere act of faith, of piety, of repentance, of seeking forgiveness, of turning to Allah. You don't have to turn to anyone. You don't have to post online or let anyone know. You don't have to let your spouse or your children or anyone else know. Within yourself, you turn to Allah and you say, oh my Lord, I turn to you in forgiveness. I turn to you in repentance. Oh my Lord, I turn to you in goodness. I want to become a better person. Give me the strength to do so. Give me the capacity to do so, my Lord. And it could be because of one act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he bestows his peace and his blessings, not just upon us as individuals, but upon an entire community. And what this tells us is that we are not just responsible for ourselves, but we are also responsible for others around us. And I mentioned this in the previous night, that it's not only important for me to become better spiritually and to grow spiritually and to be observant and to be religious and pious myself, but also that I take care that others around me, that my spouse, my children, my parents, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, my neighbors, that those around me are also growing, are also developing, are also on a path of goodness and away from evil and immorality. Because our well-being depends on all of us, that we work together with one another to promote everyone's well-being. And then Allah tells us in verses 13 and 14, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا. Nuh tells his people, why is it that you continue to reject? Don't you think about God's blessings upon you, how God has created you in stages, the creation, God's endowments upon you? Why do you continue to be heedless? The Quran tells us in chapter 57, verse 16, Allah says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Such a powerful verse, brothers and sisters. Allah says, is it not time? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Is it not time that the believers, not the kuffar, that the believers, those who have iman, is it not about time that the believers are, you know, sort of, that the Quran and the revelation impacts them, that they are drawn to it. Allah is asking us, until when will you be heedless? Until when will you forget? Until when will you be preoccupied with other things? When will the time come for this Quran, for this revelation, for these teachings to impact you, to draw your attention? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ, for their hearts to be reverent. أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, when they remember God. وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, and God's message of truth. It's about time, Allah tells us. And the holy month of Ramadan, and I'll end with this, brothers and sisters, the holy month of Ramadan is that time. It is that golden opportunity for us, brothers and sisters, to take advantage. To take advantage of these great blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us as His guests. We are honored, we are privileged to be chosen by Allah as His guests during this month. This is what the traditions tell us. They tell us that we are the guests of Allah, that Allah is the host during the month of Ramadan. And what better host than Allah? What kinder and more gracious and more compassionate a host than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And thus, brothers and sisters, I remind myself, of course, before I remind you, let us remember to take advantage of this month of Ramadan. All of us know friends, family members who were with us last year, who are not with us this year. They are not experiencing the month of Ramadan. We don't know whether we will make it to the end of the month, whether we will make it to next year to experience the month of Ramadan again. We have no idea. But we are here now, and we are able to take advantage of these holy days and nights. Thus, brothers and sisters, let's take advantage. Let us make the month of Ramadan, the days and the nights of the month of Ramadan, special. Not like any other days and nights. There has to be a difference. And if we really take advantage of the month of Ramadan, and we turn in sincerity in our acts of worship, in our fasting, in our prayers, in our dua recitation, in seeking forgiveness, in reciting and thinking about the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us and will bless our families and communities. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capacity to do so. We pray to Allah the Almighty to bring relief and comfort to those who are suffering around the world. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring a full and speedy recovery to those who are sick, those who are ill. And we pray to Allah the Almighty to bestow His peace upon the souls of those who have passed away. وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات نهدي جميعا ثواب سورة الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.